We see Silver Garland. Text, Hallmark Channel presents. A snowflake twirls across the screen over a dark necklace. Titles, The Good Witch's Gift. Winter Berries and Crystals on Bare Branches. Text, Catherine Bell. Chris Potter. We Move Up an Icicle. Text, Catherine Disher. Peter McNeil. Ornaments Hang Off of Bare Branches. Text, Matthew Knight, Elizabeth Lenny, Hannah Endicott Douglas. Casting by Lisa Parrison CDC CSA, and John Comerford CDC, Editor, Mark Sanders CCE. Champagne bubbles float to the top of a glass. Stones in a glass vase. Text, Associate Producer Janina Barrett, Gold Chain Mail. Text, Producer Andrea Raffaello. A glass sculpture. Text, Co-Executive Producer Catherine Bell. Executive Producers Orly Adelson, Jonathan Eskenas. Executive Producer Frank Siracusa. A Christmas tree on a street.
Hi.
An officer waves to a pedestrian.
Derek, I'm just doing a little window shopping. I'll be back in around 20.
No rush, Chief. There's not much going on.
He passes by a shop with a wedding dress in the window. He walks past a window and does a double take at a blue scarf.
Now, what about a blue cashmere scarf, Derek?
Oh, thanks, Chief. But want to clash with my uniform?
For Cassie. Otherwise, I pretty much have my Christmas shopping done.
He keeps walking past storefront windows. He approaches one window.
What about jewelry, Derek? I mean, Cassie's tastes aren't exactly traditional.
Nah, you're right. What do you get a woman who can conjure up anything?
His smile fades and he snaps his head up to see a man in a brown leather jacket walking down the street.
Derek, I think I see someone.
He starts walking.
I'll catch you later.
10-4.
He watches as the man in the leather jacket turns to the right. He approaches the corner he turned at.
Chief Russell.
Cassie appears next to a Christmas tree on the corner.
Hello, sweetheart.
She smiles.
Hi.
Hey, you looking for someone?
Oh, I thought I saw someone who I knew, but...
He looks down the street.
Well, this is the season to reach out to old friends.
Aren't you cold?
Oh, no. I just came out to check my window display. Now, doesn't that make you want to step inside?
The door's decorated with red bows magically open. His jaw drops. She smiles.
When did you get the automatic doors?
Oh, I didn't.
They walk into the store. The door's shut behind them. He spins around to watch them.
Hey.
He grabs her arm and kisses her.
Can you do that in uniform?
I'm the chief. I can do whatever I want.
Well, in that case, do it again.
They kiss again.
I've decided. The wedding should be in April.
April can be very unpredictable.
So can you.
I suppose. But when it comes to Christmas, I can be very traditional.
Oh, I love the season. Can't say the same for everybody in my house.
Oh?
You know, Christmas really hasn't been the same since Jenny passed away.
Yeah, they miss their mom.
He looks away.
I got my Christmas shopping done. Except for you.
I have the only gift I need.
He turns to her.
Oh, you're my bride-to-be. This has to be the perfect gift.
He picks up something on the counter.
What's this?
An astrological calendar.
For this year. There's 2 weeks left.
People have a lot to do in these 2 weeks.
Tell me about it.
She gazes at him.
Why don't you keep it?
Oh.
Jake, it's not your only gift. Just think of it as a stocking stuffer.
He eyes the calendar.
Thank you.
He kisses her. She smiles. A police car parked outside of a stone and brick building.
So? Any luck?
Jake at his desk.
Oh, no. But I should have a positive ID any minute now if it's who I think it is.
Furrows his brow.
No, I meant, did you find something for Cassie?
Jake looks up.
Oh, no. Not yet. It's gotta be the best Christmas gift ever.
Well, yeah. She is your fiancé.
It's not that, Derek. It's... Cassie spent a lot of sad Christmas mornings at that foster home.
Maybe when you two finally pick a wedding date, next year will be a little different.
We've been trying to pick a wedding date for months.
He looks at the calendar.
Yes.
Derek grabs it from him.
Jake, how are you going to find a wedding date next year? This is this year's calendar.
A profile comes up on his computer.
Leon Deeks.
The man on the street.
What? Leon Deeks.
They both look at the screen.
A message from state prison. Leon Deeks was released from federal prison 2 days ago. I knew that's who I saw.
Served 10 years out of a 15-year sentence. Well, how do you know this guy?
Do you remember the Shelbyville National Bank robbery?
I remember hearing about it.
He was the robber.
Well, what do you think he's doing here?
I think he's either here to visit his ex-wife and daughter, who still live in Middleton, or
what?
Jake looks up at Derek.
After the robbery, I was the one who arrested him and sent him to prison.
Derek lifts his eyebrows.
Whoa.
Whoa was right.
Derek glances at him.
Let's take a drive through town, see if he's still window shopping.
Grabs his jacket.
How much did Deeks walk away with?
$100,000. Still missing.
They walk out of the station. Deeks walks up to Cassie's store window decorated with glittery gold and silver bells and baubles. He peers in the window. He walks to the doors, one of which is open. He looks around him left and right, then walks closer to the open door and peeks inside. The door slams in his face.
Are you all right?
Cassie appears next to him.
That wind just loves to open and close my door.
She smiles.
Who are you?
I'm Cassie Nightingale, the proprietor. Welcome.
She gestures to the door, opens it and walks in. Deeks looks around the street then follows her. She closes the door behind them.
So, you did all this?
Excuse me?
All this work was so broken down.
Oh, yeah, I suppose it was pretty run down. I was just glad I was able to give it a second chance. I love second chances, don't you?
He stares at her.
I don't know. I'm still waiting for my first.
He smiles. She studies him.
Are you from around here?
I used to be.
Oh, then maybe you know my fiancé, Jake Russell?
His eyes widen.
Yeah, Chief Russell, yeah. We go way back.
She nods.
Are you hunting for anything in particular?
Huh?
In the shop.
He points to the back.
What's that back there? Feathers?
Peacock feathers. Just got them in. I'll just be a minute. They're still in the box.
She walks to the back and disappears behind a curtain. He turns and looks around the shop.
Feel free to look around.
He walks a few steps and looks on the ground around him. He peeks behind the front desk and walks to the cash register. He looks to the front window where customers are looking in. He walks away.
Here we go.
She comes back out with a feather to find him walking out the door.
Merry Christmas.
She stares after him. We move from bare branches of trees to a two-level house with a porch. We wish you a Merry Christmas. A box of Christmas decorations lays open on the floor. We move up to a Christmas tree being decorated by George. He finishes tying an ornament on a branch. He looks up to the top. He turns to see his grandson walk in glued to a video game.
Well, look who's finally decided to emerge from his room.
Hey, Grandpa.
George holds up tinsel.
Tinsel or no tinsel this year?
He glances up from his game.
You decide.
You're gonna help me decorate, aren't you?
No, I'm headed out to a movie with my friend. We're grabbing pizza later.
I guess your dad knows.
Of course.
He nods and looks down.
I'm out of here. Back before 10.
He leaves. Lori enters.
Well, Lori, looks like it's you and me tonight. Dad's going out with Cassie, so how about you and I stir up a batch of Christmas cookies?
She looks up.
Christmas cookies?
You know the little round ones you like with the powdered sugar?
Sorry, I'm going to a sleepover with Amy. Didn't Dad tell you?
No. No, he didn't.
Lori looks out.
There's my ride.
George blinks and shifts his weight.
Later.
She walks out. George purses his lips and looks down at the decorations. The stone and brick building, a conference room.
Resolved that Betty will repaint her business sign out by the highway.
Betty snaps a look to the woman next to her.
Passed.
Martha bangs the gavel.
But I need that sign for my bakery to do business.
ASAP, Betty. We want the holiday shoppers visiting town to feel good about Middleton. It's all about the gracious, traditional image that we want to project. But your slogan, turn left for the best sticky buns in the state. Oh.
They are.
Martha frowns.
It's just so tacky. After all, Middleton is not a truck stop.
She smirks.
So, if there is no further business, everyone have a very Merry Christmas, the happiest of holidays, etc., etc., and so forth. This session of the Middleton Citizens League is hereby adjourned.
She bangs the gavel again and smiles at it. They get up from the conference table. The woman sitting next to Betty approaches Martha.
Have you thought about my proposal? About Cassie Nightingale, inviting her to join the Citizens League.
Oh, my dear Gwen, I thought you were joking.
Oh, Martha.
Oh, hello, Mr. Mayor.
Gwen?
Hello, dear. I love my new gavel. A little present to myself.
She taps his chest.
Martha, walk with me a minute.
Oh, well, you'll have to walk quickly. I'm late for my mani-pedi.
Martha, this isn't easy for me to say. I just finished talking with our business manager. It's about our real estate investments.
What about them?
They failed.
She stops walking, spins around, eyes wide.
What do you mean?
We've lost everything.
Not the Orlando condo.
Everything.
Her jaw drops. She watches someone pass them.
Martha, we're broke. All our money is gone.
How can that be?
We're not destitute. I still have my mayor's salary, our house. But there'll have to be some changes.
Oh, Tom. You know how I hate changes.
Well, for a start, you have to get a job.
Her jaw drops.
A job?
He purses his lips and averts his eyes.
What about the Citizens League?
A paying job. Until we get back on our feet.
She shakes her head.
I don't understand. How could this have happened?
What's happened to a lot of people?
Lowers her head. He puts a hand on her shoulder.
We'll pull through.
She looks up at him, brow furrowed.
We'll talk more tonight, okay?
She forces a smile. He walks away and tears well in her eyes.
Oh, and Martha, until further notice, please do your own nails.
She smiles and looks down at her fingernails, then glances around her and holds the gavel to her chest. Christmas wreaths decorate the street lamps as Brandon and his friend walk down the street.
I wonder if we're gonna get a white Christmas this year.
Hope not.
How come?
I mean, why waste a perfectly good snow day when we're gonna be off school anyway? Think the stores will be open after the movie?
Maybe.
She takes his hand.
I want to get my mom something different this year. Any ideas?
Snow shovel?
They turn around a corner, a gray brick house with green shutters. We move past the crystal chandelier to find Cassie sweeping the floor. Jake enters.
Hello, Jake.
She turns around.
Hi.
Hi.
She puts the broom down.
A nice surprise.
She kisses him.
Well, speaking of surprises, I've got one for you. Have a seat.
Okay.
They sit on the sofa.
I got your Christmas gift.
She smiles.
Jake, I already told you don't have to give me anything.
No, you gave me this calendar, and I've been looking at it, and I decided one gift deserves another, so this is the most exciting gift that I can imagine.
Well, I could do with a little excitement. My bed and breakfast gets very quiet over the holidays.
Cassie, I want to give you a family for Christmas.
She narrows her eyes.
What do you mean?
I mean, let's get married.
She smiles and looks down.
I think I already said yes.
No, I mean now.
Jake Russell, when did you get so spontaneous?
The day that I decided you were the one for me.
Oh, maybe my personality is rubbing off on you.
Oh, come on. We've been trying to set a date for this wedding for months, and something always gets in the way. What was the excuse last time?
Mercurian retrograde.
Okay, well, the calendar that you gave me says this is the perfect time to forge new partnerships and initiate long-term plans.
Does it really say all that?
She purses her lips and smiles.
Jake, Christmas is only 7 days away.
Not on Christmas.
He stands, walks a few steps, then turns to her.
On Christmas Eve.
Pull the wedding together in 6 days.
Well, we'll get everybody to chip in.
Oh, so little time, so much fun.
Cassie, I want you to wake up Christmas morning with the family that you've always wanted.
We're gonna put the magic back in Christmas for you and the kids and George. And on Christmas morning, we'll wake up one big happy family.
They kiss and embrace at Jake's house.
We have some news.
We finally set a date for the wedding.
When is it gonna be?
Christmas Eve.
That's great.
What? That's.
Yeah, 6 days. I know.
Is it gonna be at Gray House?
I'm afraid Gray House is going to be a little too cozy for our guests. We wouldn't want to leave anyone out.
Can you get it together that fast?
We're going to need everyone's help, starting right now. So who wants to help me do some baking?
I do.
She stands and smiles. So does Brandon. George averts his gaze.
How about you, George?
I'm feeling a little tired. I think I'll take a nap.
He walks out. They watch him go. Lori hugs Cassie.
It's gonna be a perfect wedding.
Yeah.
A magical wedding.
Cassie pats her head. Lori and Brandon run off.
I'm afraid we might need more than magic. I think we may need a miracle.
Well, fortunately, this is the season of miracles.
They gaze at each other and kiss. We move down the main street, landing on Village Bakery and Coffee. Betty mans the register and the phone.
Well, no, I tried to object, Gwen. Well, Martha can't tell me what to paint on my own slide. Well, I'm just a book.
She looks to the door. Martha walks in.
I'm gonna call you back later.
She hangs up and walks to Martha, leaving the register open.
Hello, Martha. Coffee?
Actually, that's not why I'm here.
Martha, I told you I just can't afford to repaint my sign.
Whatever you think best.
Betty blinks.
Okay, then what can I do for you?
Martha holds up her palms.
Betty, I've decided to take a more hands-on approach to helping our community.
She smiles.
How do you mean?
Well, I thought I could start right here. Perhaps as a hostess, welcoming people as they enter.
Betty's eyes dart around.
Are you asking me for a job?
In a manner of speaking. I simply thought that with the holidays, you might use a little assistance.
Betty purses her lips.
You know, I might have an opening. Why don't you just let me talk to Marty in the kitchen?
In the kitchen? Oh, no. I thought something perhaps that would showcase my people skills, such as a hostess.
She gestures to the front of the store and smiles, then her face falls and she throws up her hands. Her eye catches on someone who she eyes up and down. It's Deke sitting eating a pastry. Her eyes widen and mouth slowly opens. She glances over to the cash register and notices that it's open, revealing all the cash. She looks from the cash to Deke's, then puts her hair behind her ear and walks him over to some shelves on the wall. He continues eating. She pretends to look at some jams but peeks over her shoulder at him. She turns around and walks a few steps, looking from left to right, then taps the register closed with her hip. Deke's looks up at her. She turns to face him with a glare. He stares back. He downs his coffee and stands. Martha clutches her purse to her chest. He raises some cash and puts it on the table. He scowls at her, then walks away. The stone and brick building.
Leon Deeks was about to rob that cash register until my wife threw her hip into it.
Martha stopped a robbery with her hips?
I hope you're not joking, Deputy, because this is no laughing matter.
I'm aware that Leon Deeks is back in Middleton, Mayor Tinstall.
What are you doing about it?
Well, first of all, we're going to have to talk with all the business owners in Middleton.
We do not want a repeat of that Shelbyville bank job 10 years ago.
No, sir, we do not. That's why I'm keeping my eye on him.
24/7, Jake. This town is flush with holiday cash.
He stands. Jake nods.
The next week, Leon Deeks is your one and only priority.
He walks out. Jake watches him go. Cars drive down the main street past Cassie's shop.
A DJ for the reception. What sort of music? All sorts. Yeah, that's right. And any Christmas carols you can dance to. Thank you.
She hangs up.
Oh, dried sage, sprinkled sea salt, spirit stones. Hello, Derek.
You working on a potion?
No, making a list for the ceremony.
Well, just here on orders from the chief. Going up and down the block, making sure that all the shopkeepers are being extra careful.
Is there cause for alarm?
No, just, you know, better to be safe than sorry. Plus, it gets me out of the office.
And you can do your Christmas shopping.
Yeah.
He nods.
Is there someone special you're buying for this year? A young lady, perhaps?
I wish.
You do? How can I help you with that?
Got a sister?
No, I'm afraid I don't.
Maybe I'll write a letter to Santa.
Now that's the spirit.
She smiles.
Oh, and Derek, don't forget my pie plates. I need them back, so I can cook you up something new.
She stares at him. He points to her, then puts on his hat and walks out. Her eyes wander, then she turns behind her and picks up a tray with a cloth, a bottle, and a jeweled necklace on it. She looks up, smiles, then picks up the necklace in her hands. We move from bare tree branches down to a red brick house. A box of Christmas decorations lays on the floor. Ruth decorates the tree. She turns and sees Brandon's friend enter.
There you are. Come help me decorate the tree.
Mom, why'd you waste your money on that thing?
Because it's Christmas.
Jody stares at her blankly.
Why don't you put the star on top.
She hands her the star.
Remember that?
Jody looks down at it.
How can I forget? You made that when you were 5 years old, with a lot of love. Life was pretty nice back then.
She looks up at Ruth.
Long time ago. Oh, sweetie.
They both look to the door. Ruth walks over to it as Jody watches her. She opens the door. She freezes. Deke smiles.
Merry Christmas, Ruth.
Leon.
She stares at him, then folds her arms and turns away as he walks inside. He closes the door.
Dad?
He looks up to see Jody and smiles.
How you doing, Angel?
Jody's eyes widen.
So big. Last time I saw you...
You were sentenced to 15 years?
Jody looks to both of them.
Why are you here?
Well, I'm out. Got 5 years off for good behavior.
Ruth searches his face.
Why are you here?
Well, why not? We're family, right?
Jody smiles slightly.
We were.
Ruth glances to Jody.
Look, Ruth, that was a low blow, sending me divorce papers while I was stuck in the pen.
She averts her gaze.
But I forgive you.
She raises her eyebrows.
You forgive me?
Yeah. To prove it, I'm gonna make this the biggest, best Christmas our little girl ever had.
Jody stares at him.
Jody, if you could have anything, anything at all, what would it be?
I don't know.
You keep thinking about it, because I'm getting it for you.
She gazes at him.
No. You were out of my life, and I'm going to make sure you stay out of Jody's if I have to take you to court to do it.
Mom!
Hey, she's my daughter, too, all right?
No. Get out.
She opens the door.
At least let the kid decide for herself.
Get out, and don't you ever come back.
She points to the door. He glares at her a moment, then leaves. She shuts the door behind him. We see Jody's face, mouth agape, staring at her mother. Cassie sips coffee at the kitchen table.
Oh, which of these invitations do you prefer?
Which one do you like?
That one.
Me too.
Good. And I have to run to the florist. There's been a run on poinsettias, but I think I can swing it.
We have a bigger problem than that.
I know. The golf course and the VFW turned us down because they were booked 9 months in advance, but I think it'll all work out in the end.
Cassie, it's not about the venue. It's about the marriage license. They have a new ID requirements, and some of your records don't exist.
Yes, I suppose I have had a checkered past.
Well, I'm looking for the court documents, but 6 days till Christmas, and with people gone for the holidays.
Well, what are you saying?
I'm saying that unless we can prove that you're Cassandra Nightingale, we might have to postpone the wedding.
She blinks, stares at him, then lowers her eyes. Betty walks down the street past a Santa collector. She stops in front of a store and furrows her brow. She walks up to the door and peers inside at a birdcage in the front window. It's Cassie's store. Betty examines the cage through the window. She walks in the front door. She looks around at the shelves full of jars with labels on them and sparkly Christmas decorations. Betty looks up as she walks through.
Hello, Betty.
Betty turns.
Can I help you?
I'm just looking.
All right, well, let me know if you need anything.
Betty watches as Cassie waves an incense stick around.
What are you doing?
Oh, people come into the store so stressed this time of year. A little incense helps lighten the energy.
You know what? It smells really familiar. It almost smells like...
Like what?
Betty looks at her, eyes wide.
Like my apple ginger pie.
How
is that even possible?
Oh, you'd be surprised at what's possible.
She smiles.
You know, I'm a big fan of that pie of yours and about a dozen other things on your menu. I was wondering if you could cater my wedding.
When is your big day?
Christmas Eve.
Oh, that is a tall order.
Cassie nods.
But I'd love to.
Oh, I know how busy you are this time of year.
Yeah, this season it's always rush, 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 right up until Christmas finally arrives, and then I can go home and relax in my easy chair all day. Alone.
She lowers her eyes. She smiles and turns. Cassie tilts her head. Betty walks around the shop.
Oh, wow.
We move to see the jeweled necklace.
God, that sparkles.
Oh, yeah, I placed that there to take advantage of the light.
Betty looks at her, then at the necklace.
Try it on.
Me? Oh, no, not really the type to wear jewelry.
Are you sure?
Cassie holds the necklace up.
You know, I should probably get back to the bake shop.
Cassie nods.
Okay.
Betty walks to the door.
Merry Christmas, Martha.
What? Oh, yes, I suppose it is.
Oh, and be sure to send me your wedding menu as soon as you can.
I will.
Cassie points to her. Betty leaves.
Martha.
Her and her brows are raised.
Miss Nightingale, I have been in and out of every shop on this street.
Oh, not one bag to show for it.
Oh, I haven't been buying. I've been...
She pauses. Her jaw hangs open.
I've been so busy. With the Citizens League and the Christmas Decorating Committee and, oh, of course, the Heritage Society, although, thank goodness, that's winding down now for the holidays.
Well, you know, I've been busy, too. I guess you heard the good news.
The wedding.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I hope you can make it. I know it's very last minute.
And Christmas Eve. The mayor and I have several long-standing social obligations, you understand.
Well, it would mean a lot to me if you could be there.
Martha looks to her, her brows raised slightly.
You really know how to make a party come alive, Martha.
I do?
Cassie smiles.
Yes, I suppose I do.
Her face falls. Cassie smiles.
Huh.
Martha's jaw drops and she looks to Cassie, then turns, walks away.
Make a party?
She lifts her palms.
So can I count you in then?
Martha hurries out. Cassie watches her go, then smiles. A red building on a corner. Jake sits in a police car across the street from the building's entrance, staring at it. A man walks out of the building. We see a neon sign in the window that reads, Rooms, it's Leon Deeks. He looks to the right, then walks to the left. Jake gets out of the car.
Leon!
He shuts the door, then looks both ways before crossing the street.
Jake Russell. With no backup? Tough guy.
Jake approaches him.
Can I talk to you?
Yeah, go ahead, talk.
What are you doing in Middleton?
I'm visiting my family. You remember the ones who've been without a husband and a father for the past 10 years? Thanks to you.
I didn't rob a bank.
He stares at him.
Still haven't found the money.
I told him where I hid that money. It's in a warehouse in Shelbyville.
Wasn't there.
No? That's not really the money that's bothering you, though, is it, Chief? What's bothering you is the family you destroyed. My family.
You did that on your own, Leon. I was just doing my duty. Don't give me a reason to send you back there again.
No, don't worry about me, Jake. Don't worry about yourself.
He glares at him, then walks away. Jake watches him go, then shrugs. The Santa collector is outside of Cassie's shop. Someone picks up a perfume atomizer. It's Jody.
Mom's been kind of wired lately.
Brandon is there with Jody.
Maybe something to help her, you know, chill.
Cassie nods.
Spa in a box. Lavender bath oils, relaxing facial, and magnetic stones to place on her pressure points.
Jody looks at the box and smiles.
I've got it!
Martha bursts in.
I've got it! God, what, Martha? The Christmas spirit?
No. My new career. I'm going to be a personal wedding planner, and you are my very first client.
Well, that is very thoughtful of you, Martha.
Martha smiles, then does a double take to Jody and pulls Cassie aside.
I'll handle it all. Music, menu, color scheme, theme. From your,
wait for it,
12 drummers drumming to your partridge in a pear tree.
That sounds like you have some very big plans.
Well, they have to be big. I expect potential clients to take notice and hire me for future events. Now, for the Seven Swans of Swimming, I was thinking ice sculptures.
Cassie smiles.
You know, I don't want to dampen your enthusiasm, but how much is this going to cost?
Not a penny. I intend on working gratis. It's only fair. It is my vision, after all.
She smiles.
Well, I have a vision, too, so maybe we could have a meeting of the minds.
Well, then, you need to make some decisions immediately. Luckily, I brought swatches.
Pulls out handfuls.
Oh, by the way, I would keep my eye on her if I were you. I believe she's Leon Deeks' daughter, if you know what I mean.
Brandon listens and twists his face.
Hey, guys.
Lori walks in.
Hi, Lori.
Cassie.
Lori walks to Cassie with some papers.
Dad wants you to sign these so he can get the marriage license. Something about permission to search for your birth records?
Hmm.
Cassie signs the papers. Lori watches her.
Getting married sure is complicated.
Takes so many people to make it all come together.
Lori smiles and takes the paper back.
Lori, would you look after this?
She takes out a silver box.
This is the ring your father's gonna give me in the ceremony.
Lori looks up at Cassie.
Belonged to my mother.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's one of the few things I have of my mother's. So I need you to take very good care of it until the wedding.
You can count on me.
Oh, in that case, would you watch the store for 1 minute? I've got to run down and pick up my wedding dress.
Dress? Oh, it has to be white. It can't be off-white. We can't have you clashing with the ice sculptures. Okay.
Martha stuffs everything back into her bag and chases Cassie out.
She acts like she's the one getting married.
Jody sets the spa box on the counter.
Okay, I think my mom's really going to like this.
Speaking of gifts, what are we going to get Cassie for Christmas?
I don't know. She's so amazing, the gift has to be amazing, too.
Yeah. Hey, Jody, any ideas for running?
He turns, but she's gone.
That mom.
Where'd she go?
She must have stepped out.
Lori looks to the counter with a rock in the spa box and some jewelry stands.
Brandon, where's the ring?
He looks on the counter.
Beats me.
I left it right here on the counter.
It's got to be here someplace, okay?
Where? It couldn't just disappear.
She looks behind books.
Lori.
We've got to find it.
What are we going to tell Cassie?
We're not going to tell Cassie. She's got enough on her mind. Just keep looking.
They look around the counter. She inhales, looks out the front window with the birdcage. She slowly exhales and twists her mouth. The porch of a red brick house with flowers on the railing, number 92. Lori approaches the house, her shoulders tensed. The inner corners of her eyebrows are raised as she leans on the cornerstone and peers in at the house.
I still have a few presents to get.
Oh! Hi, Brandon. Hi, Jody.
She looks down.
Lori, what are you doing here?
I was just going for a walk. You guys been shopping?
Yeah, I got my mom that spa in the box. I was all set to buy it when I saw her outside the shop, so I cleared it fast.
Lori nods.
Better go hide this under my bed. Bye, Brandon.
Brandon smiles and she walks up the steps and into the house. Brandon glares at Lori.
I know why you're here.
They walk to the sidewalk.
Came over to accuse Jody of taking the ring.
No!
She stops.
Thought maybe she stole it, right? Because of who her dad is? Lori, I want to find it too.
Brandon, I...
You're as bad as Martha Tinsdale.
He walks away. She watches him go, her inner eyebrows lifted. George and Gwen walk down the street with presents.
What's wrong, honey?
What do you mean?
Well, for one thing, you haven't complained once about doing all this Christmas shopping lately.
Got a lot of things on my mind.
The wedding.
That and what happens after. I'm moving out.
Her eyes widen.
To make room for the newlyweds. George, you're such a romantic. That's why I fell for you. This is your chance to start a new life. Ask yourself, what does George O'Hanrahan want? More than anything.
To put these packages down, my arms are killing me.
She stops walking.
Well, why don't you lug them to my place and I'll put on a pot of coffee.
You're on. Let's get this stuff under the tree.
I don't have a tree. You know I'm leaving for San Diego tomorrow.
You had to remind me.
You don't want me to go?
That's not what I meant. I know how important this trip is to you, Gwen.
Well, you're important to me too, George. You know that.
He forces a smile.
It just wouldn't be Christmas without my grandchildren. You understand?
I do. I really do. I love Christmas with my grandkids.
He looks down.
Then what are you saying?
He looks up at her.
I'm gonna miss you, Gwen.
Oh, I'm gonna miss you too. But I'll be back before you can blink, just in time for a happy new year.
He smiles and walks away. She studies him and catches up with him and takes his arm. We see over a police officer's shoulder as they fill out paperwork. Lori enters and faces us.
Dad?
Lori!
He sets down his pen and walks over to her.
Honey, have you got a problem?
Yeah. Brandon.
Brandon? What's wrong?
Well, I lost Cassie's wedding ring.
Jake blinks and hesitates.
You did?
And I think Brandon's friend Jody knows where it is.
Why would she know?
Because she was right next to it when it disappeared. And I never said she stole it. I just wanted to talk to her about it. But now Brandon acts like I hate her or something. And I don't hate her. But what if she does have the ring? And I need to get it back.
All right. What did Cassie say?
Well, you can't tell Cassie.
All right. Well, I'll talk to Brandon.
Well, maybe he'll listen to you. He sure doesn't listen to me.
All right. It's gonna be okay.
He kisses her head.
You go home, okay? Your dad's got work to do.
She walks a few steps, then turns back to him.
Do you think we'll find it?
Well, we'll give it our best shot.
She looks down and nods and walks out. He watches her go, his smile fades. From behind Cassie's register at her store, we find Deeks looking around. He looks at the register, walks toward it and leans over the counter slightly.
It's a steal.
He whips around.
What? A scented shaving soap. It's only $4.99. That is what you were looking at, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Here, take a whiff.
She takes the top off and holds the container to his nose.
That's not bad.
She sniffs it.
Sandalwood. Very popular with family men. The women in their lives just love it.
She smiles. He stares at her. She watches him as he walks around the store. He comes across a Santa suit on a hanger. He eyes it.
Oh, that's not for sale. It's for the Santa who rings the bell outside my shop.
He looks out the window.
I don't see him. Where is he now?
Oh, Carl's got a touch of the flu. Children's Fund is going to miss out on all those donations.
Yeah, well, things are tough all over.
He smirks.
I'm surprised you never noticed Santa before, especially since you spend so much time in this part of town.
His eyes widen.
I've been out walking around and window shopping. Got a lot of time on my hands these days.
He smirks again. She looks up, then reaches for the Santa suit.
You know, with all that extra time, why don't you make good use of it? All the kids will love you.
What, you gotta be kidding.
It would be a wonderful way to show people you care. And since you'd be right outside, you could pop in any time and warm up with a cup of my mulled cider.
He looks to the front window with the birdcage.
Wonder if it fits.
They look at the suit.
Looking at you, I would say it's a perfect fit.
She smirks. Deke stares from the suit to her. Brandon sits at the table playing a video game. Jake enters.
Brandon, may I have a word with you, please?
As soon as I finish this level.
Jake sits.
I was just about to show Brandon how to make a customized Christmas ornament for Jody.
Well, I'd just like to have a word with him before the two of you get started.
George nods and leans on the table. Jake looks at him.
Alone.
George stands with his mouth agape.
You want the old man to take a hike?
He stands up straight.
This is what I need, a hike.
He walks out. Jake turns his head until he's gone and looks at Brandon.
Why are you angry with your sister?
Because she accused Jody of being a thief.
According to Lori, she never said a word to Jody.
She was going to. I guess Lori thinks that just because Jody's dad robbed a bank, it runs in the family.
Well, Lori's very upset about the ring and you.
He looks away.
And Brandon, Jody was right beside that ring when it disappeared.
No, the whole town's against her. You think she's some sort of gangster? I expect this from Martha Tinsdale, not from my own father.
He gets up.
Brandon.
Later.
Hey, Brandon.
He storms out past Cassie.
Hi.
Hi.
She holds a paper.
Maybe this isn't the best time.
No, there's no time like the present.
He gestures to sit.
Right, well, I have the flow of the ceremony. I have to get a copy of this to the minister, except...
Except what?
Well, I'm having trouble finding one.
He nods.
Sometimes I wonder if all of this is going to work out.
Oh, it will. Trust me. We'll find a minister and a venue, and we'll get our license.
No, not that, Cassie. I've got Brandon mad at me. He's fighting with his sister. Lori's upset. And George, he's feeling like he just wants to get away from us all.
She watches him.
I just want to give everyone a family Christmas.
She smiles.
It's hard to have a family Christmas when you don't have a happy family to celebrate it.
She gazes at him. He looks down and takes her hand. On the main street, the storefront of Village Bakery and Coffee. Cassie sits as guests leave.
Thank you.
A whole table of presents sit behind her.
Wow, so many gifts.
Well, it is a wedding shower, right?
Betty, I can't thank you enough.
Wait till you try your wedding cake. Oh, that reminds me, you're gonna have to sample some of that sparkling wine before I order it.
Cassie's eyes wander.
Yeah, Betty, every woman deserves a little sparkle in her life. I want you to have this.
She holds up the necklace.
A gift? Cassie, I couldn't.
Oh, look at all those gifts. You deserve one, too.
Betty gazes at it.
is pretty, but it's not really my style.
Hmm. Well, I'll tell you what. Try it for a few days, and if you don't like it, I'll exchange it.
She clasps it on Betty's neck.
You don't have to do that.
No, customer satisfaction is my priority.
Betty looks to her and shrugs.
If you insist, I'll go get the wine.
Okay.
She smiles as she watches her go. Martha enters.
Yoo-hoo! Season's greetings! Oh, fashionably late, as usual.
She brings a giant bag.
Martha, you shouldn't have.
What? Oh, I didn't. Your gift is on back order.
Cassie sighs.
Okay. Voila!
Lori purses her lips and eyes a pear tree Martha set on the table. Cassie's jaw drops.
Partridges in a pear tree!
Betty enters with wine.
Wow, do we need that?
Oh, you need several of them, one for each table.
Oh, even the menu isn't that grand, Martha.
Yeah, Betty's right. I ordered comfort food.
Oh, weddings aren't about comfort, for goodness sake. If they were, people would be getting married all the time. Mm. Oh, I ordered your cake. 5 tiers.
Betty's eyes widen.
Oh, Betty's doing the cake.
Oh, really?
Betty nods.
What kind?
Well, we decided perhaps a yellow sheet cake.
Mm-hmm. Sheet cake. Oh, my dear Betty. Cassie's cake has to be at least as tall as the pear trees. Am I right?
Cassie opens her mouth and hesitates.
Why don't we let Betty do the cake?
I see. Well, it's your funeral. Oops, I mean wedding.
She smiles.
But Martha, I so appreciate all you've done.
Do you? Do any of you? I had a vision. 9 ladies dancing, 8 lords a-leaping, and... Well, a sheet cake would just compromise the entire affair. I mean, who would hire me after that got around? No, I'm afraid that I am going to have to bow out.
I'm sorry to hear that, Martha.
Well, I couldn't have attended anyway. I have a previous engagement.
She hurries out. Cassie watches her go, then looks with wide eyes to Betty. Betty blinks and walks away.
Ho, ho, ho.
Ooh, you're feeling jolly as well, huh?
How can we have a Merry Christmas if everyone's so miserable?
Everybody?
Well, my family anyway.
Hmm. Including you?
Guess so.
Why?
Lori looks down.
Because I don't have the...
She looks in Cassie's eyes.
A dress. For the wedding. Hmm. The one I wanted was too small.
Why don't we have it let out?
Lori glances at her, purses her lips and nods.
We're all constantly growing, aren't we, Lori?
Lori studies her.
Yeah, what's the rate on that room?
George is on the phone.
That much? Nothing lower?
He has the yellow pages open.
I thought for some reason that rooms would be lower in Montreal.
Brandon appears behind him.
I guess not. Thanks.
He hangs up. Brandon walks by him eating an apple.
Oh, Brandon, I didn't hear you come in.
Montreal?
Yeah, a friend of mine has a restaurant up there.
Cool.
He walks away.
I thought I'd go for a visit.
He turns back, but Brandon isn't there.
A long visit.
He stares into space. Ruth answers her front door. It's Cassie.
Hello? This is Deeks. Hi, I'm Cassie Nightingale. We spoke on the phone.
Oh, of course. Please come in.
Thanks.
She walks in.
So rumor has it you're the best seamstress in all of Middleton.
Thank you.
I have a little emergency.
She holds up a purple dress.
Can you let this out 2 inches?
It's a very delicate material.
Is there enough fabric?
Let me see.
She checks.
Yes, I can do it.
Oh, you're a lifesaver.
Listen, I know I have this color thread upstairs. If you want to wait, it'll only take a few minutes.
Perfect.
Okay, please make yourself at home.
All right, thanks.
Cassie moves to the sofa and sits.
Dad?
Jody walks in smiling, then her face falls.
Oh, sorry, I heard voices and thought.
Oh, it's just me. Your mom's fixing a dress for me.
Jody walks and checks behind her, then sits in a chair.
She's gonna love that spa in a box.
Oh, yes. You know what? I forgot to give you something the other day.
She reaches in her purse and brings out a silver coin. She holds it up and the light bounces off of it.
The coin?
Jody takes it.
It's a gift.
Cassie smiles.
A dollar. Thanks.
It's a silver dollar.
Jody examines it.
Is it worth more than a regular dollar?
Well, that depends on how you spend it.
Jody glances from the coin to Cassie and smiles. Deeks in the Santa suit at night outside of Cassie's store. He looks to his left and right, then walks to the window with the birdcage and stares at it. He does a double take as shoppers pass by and he takes up his spot again.
Oh, ho, 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 ho! Merry Christmas, Middleton! Ho, ho! Merry Christmas! Ho, 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 ho! That's the spirit, and a prosperous new year to you.
He pats a child on the head.
And to all of us.
It's only 2 days to Christmas, and I still don't know what to get you.
That's okay.
I was gonna make you this Christmas ornament, but pretty lame, huh?
Brandon, I'm sure I'd like just about anything if it came from you.
She smiles. He smiles back, then it fades.
Yeah, but what do you really want?
She looks around and sees a girl and her parents walking down the street. She watches as they walk past, smiling.
I don't think there's much chance I'll get what I really want for Christmas.
Brandon purses his lips and looks down.
Ho, ho, ho. Happy holidays to you. Oh, thank you.
Any change?
He pats his empty pockets.
Just this.
The silver dollar.
Nice coin.
They start walking.
What's it worth?
A dollar? Ho, ho, ho. Maybe it's worth something. I don't know. Maybe it'll make somebody have a better Christmas than me.
Drops it in the bucket.
Merry Christmas, Santa.
Jody?
Deeks watches her walk by.
Christmas, Santa.
Deke's eyes linger on Jody.
Merry Christmas.
The little girl smiles.
Thanks, Santa.
Say hi. Santa. Merry Christmas. Santa. Merry Christmas.
The family walks away. He watches Jody and Brandon walk down the street. He takes down his beard as he continues to watch them. We float away as he stands there watching.
Yes, I'm making truffles for the wedding guest, so if you could just double that order.
Derek enters Cassie's shop.
Yes, I know it is a lot of chocolate, but as I always say, you can never have too much love or chocolate. Oh, thank you so much.
She hangs up.
Hello, Derek. Hi. Keeping our street safe.
Thanks to you. Getting Leon in a Santa suit? How did you manage to do that?
Never underestimate the magic of Santa.
She smiles.
I have your pie plates.
Oh. How'd you like the mince pie?
Loved it.
His eyes grow wide.
Well, I'm ready for my next treat.
Her right eyebrow raises slightly. Betty walks into the shop wearing the necklace and a dress.
Evening, ma'am.
Oh, deputy, it's me. Betty.
Betty?
He looks her up and down.
Listen, I wanted to ask you about your cake. Which frosting?
Beautiful.
Oh, yes, it's gonna be beautiful. But I want to know which flavor.
No, I meant you.
Oh!
She looks at her dress.
Well, thank you. You know, after a day of wearing this necklace, I just had to go buy a new dress to go with it, and then I had to buy new shoes to go with the new dress, and got a new haircut to match my new outfit, and before I knew it, I had a total makeover. It's amazing how this little necklace inspired a whole new me.
Not new. The outer sparkle just helped your inner sparkle shine through.
Betty smiles and looks up.
I'll say.
Betty looks up at him.
I'll say chocolate frosting. Not that it's my cake, but, you know, I'm sure whatever cake you make is, it's gonna be great.
She smiles.
Thank you, Derek.
He smiles back. Cassie looks at them both.
I'm gonna go back to my bake shop.
Oh, I'll walk you.
Okay.
Say, what are you doing Christmas Day?
He opens the door for her and mouths thank you to Cassie, who shrugs. They leave the shop. Cassie smiles and shrugs again. Jake's house at night decorated with Christmas lights. White roses, gold ribbon and boxes lay on a table next to a bunch of finished products of the box wrapped in ribbon with a rose on top. We move up to see Cassie filling a box with a truffle then wrapping it up. Jake walks in with two mugs.
Cassie, you're really doing a good job with those.
Thank you. Thanks.
He hands her a mug and she sips from it. Jake sits next to her.
I got our wedding license.
Her eyes grow wide.
What? That's terrific! Really? How?
I just told the county clerk that you've been paying state and federal taxes under the name Cassandra Nightingale for years, and that if it was good enough for the Internal Revenue Service, then who were they to say otherwise?
Brilliant. We're on a roll. Now all we have to do is figure out a place to have the wedding.
Well, what happened to the garden club?
Well, they won't let us use their solarium for the wedding. Something about the body heat from the guests wilting the lilies.
That's ridiculous.
No, got a point. You and I have a way of raising the temperature all by ourselves.
She leans in closer to him, then gives him a kiss. He looks down.
Jake, lighten up.
Oh, sorry. It's Christmas. Everything's either booked or closed for the holidays.
She raises an eyebrow.
Well, not to worry. I have a plan.
Yeah, you always do.
I also have our minister. He is happy to drive down from Lakeville. Apparently he and George go way back.
Yeah, George. He's talking about moving to Montreal. He's got a friend that owns a restaurant there.
What? But you and the kids have to get together and figure out a way to talk him out of it.
Cassie, we're not even talking.
Her eyes wander as she contemplates this. He grabs his jacket.
Well, I've got to get back to work.
He walks to her as he puts his jacket on. She adjusts his jacket.
Why don't you stop for a cup of coffee on your way to keep warm?
She gazes at him. They kiss. He walks to the door. She watches him. He glances back at her.
What? What's that smile about?
Just remember that I'm marrying you on Christmas Eve.
He smiles and leaves. She smiles and watches him go. Jake enters the coffee shop. He walks up to the register.
Just a coffee, please.
He looks again and his jaw drops.
Betty.
She smiles.
Just the usual, Chief Russell?
He hesitates.
Yes. Yes. The.
She turns to get the coffee. She wears the necklace. He turns and looks around, finds Brandon staring at his coffee mug.
Well, is this seat taken?
Brandon averts his eyes as Jake sits down.
It is now, I guess.
Brandon, you can't still be mad at me.
Why not? You still think Jody's a thief?
I never said that.
It's tough on Jody. She has such a big heart.
Jake smiles.
She hides it because she has this rep around school. Because her dad was in prison.
Jake looks down.
You know, I was beginning to think that you were very close-minded, but you're not. Not when it comes to your friend.
Brandon cracks a smile.
She's funny. Fun, you know? Things she says, the way she dresses. She's different. In a good way. That's why I like her so much.
Who does that remind you of?
Oh. Furrows his brow.
Your friend, Jody. She sounds an awful lot like the woman that I'm gonna marry. For all the same reasons.
Jake smiles. Brandon looks at him and smiles.
Christmas special?
He looks at his coffee mug.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, topped with ring green sprinkles.
Well, you let me pay for that.
Cassie already did.
Really?
Jake blinks.
Yeah. She sent me down here. Said I deserved a treat.
Jake shakes his head and smiles. We move from bare tree branches down to the gray house. Tea is poured into a teacup by Cassie.
So what brings you here, George?
My feet. I was just out for a long walk, and I thought I'd knock on your door. Is this herbal tea?
No, something stronger. Irish breakfast.
Oh. How'd you guess Mr. Hanrahan would be paying you a visit? I always feel welcome here.
Gray house. Dear old gray house.
George tilts his head.
I'm wrong, Cassie.
Oh, it's just an old house, and it needs a lot of TLC. It's a big responsibility.
Ah, you're up to it.
After the wedding, Jake and I will be staying at his house, and I can't be two places at once.
He turns his head.
Are you sure?
Now, George.
She sips her tea.
Yeah, running a B&B is a hands-on job. And half the time I won't be here.
George looks around.
I want to hold on to Gray House, but without the B&B income, I'm just not so sure anymore.
He studies her, then furrows his brow and looks down.
Oh, but I've been doing all the talking, so... Is there something on your mind?
Nothing.
He smiles.
It's funny how a long walk sometimes will clear your mind.
She smiles. Cassie's storefront, Deeks and his Santa suit are nowhere to be seen. Jake sits in his police car watching the store. While watching him, we move from the front window to the side door window. We see a reflection of Deeks in his Santa suit approaching the car. Jake looks over and rolls down his window. Deeks raises his coffee cup.
Another cup of coffee, Chief?
No, thanks.
Are you sure? You look a little tired.
Jake looks forward.
I'm fine.
Are you working overtime?
Yeah.
But you've been out here almost every day.
Yeah, that's right.
Except tomorrow. Because you're getting married.
Jake stares at him.
I got that covered too, Leo.
Yeah, I bet you do.
Jake nods.
Oh, we'll see you around, huh?
Jake nods. Deeks walks away. He glances back at Jake, then walks over to his collection post. Jake watches him as he picks up his bell.
Ho, 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 ho! Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas! Ho, ho, ho! Thank you very much.
Jake sighs. Daytime at Jake's house. Lori types on her phone. Cassie walks in with Lori's dress.
Got the dress. It's all fixed up. And I'm ready for the big night.
She sits next to Lori.
Oh, thanks.
Lori averts her eyes.
It's not about the dress, is it?
She shuts her eyes.
Lori, you can tell me anything.
Lori freezes. Then she jumps over and hugs Cassie.
I don't have the ring.
Cassie's eyes widen. Her eyes dart around.
I lost it. You gave it to me. You trusted me, and...
She breaks the hug and hangs her head.
I let you down.
She cries.
No tears.
Cassie wipes them away.
Okay. But you told me it belonged to your mother. You said it was all you had left from your old family.
Cassie smiles.
I have my memories, and those can never be lost.
Lori looks at her with glassy eyes. Cassie takes her hands.
And now, I have my new family, too. So let me tell you something about that old ring. It has a mind of its own.
Huh?
I've misplaced it before, and that ring always finds its way back to me.
Cassie smiles. Lori nods and smiles back. Cassie pats the side of her head. Martha's gavel smashes open a shelled nut in the conference room. She empties the nut into a bowl. Cassie walks in.
Oh.
Martha eyes her.
Hello, Miss Nightingale.
Hello, Martha.
If you've come to ask me back, I'm afraid...
Well, I didn't come for that. I was wondering if you had those color swatches that you showed me.
She separates a nut from the shell.
I might.
She dusts off her hands.
I was ordering tablecloths, and there was this one shade of ivory.
Martha searches.
Oh, yes, here it is.
Oh, yes.
She hands it to Cassie.
What on earth is this?
She holds up the silver ring box.
My ring!
Cassie's eyes widen.
Well, how did it get in there?
Oh. Well, what matters is you found it, Martha. Thank you.
Heavens, that day in your shop, I emptied my purse on your counter, and... After I swept everything up again, I must have...
She looks at her, mouth agape.
I feel just terrible.
Cassie stares blankly at her.
You're not angry?
Of course not.
She shakes her head.
I suppose I shouldn't have quit on you like that. Leaving you high and dry at the very last minute. Oh, I had such an extraordinary event planned for the two of you.
I know. That's why I recommended you to a wealthy client who's getting married in the spring.
You did?
You have such energy, Martha, and enthusiasm. You're bursting with creative ideas.
Oh!
And I think the job pays well, too.
What a lovely, unexpected gesture.
Why unexpected?
Well, for you to think of me after all that I...
Well, it is the season where we think of others first, don't we?
She smiles. Martha blinks.
I don't know what to say.
I know you and the mayor have other plans for Christmas Eve, but the invitation is still open.
After all that I've done?
Oh, but there's so much more to do, isn't there?
Martha looks at her. Cassie glances at her, then turns to leave.
Well, if your plans change, we'd love to see you there. Merry Christmas, Martha.
She walks away.
And to you.
She sighs and looks down. Lori exits a shop on the main street.
Brandon!
She runs to catch up with him.
Cassie found her ring.
That's good.
They walk for a bit.
Now, you must feel just great.
Pretty good. Not great.
Why not?
I want to see Jody behind your back. Maybe I should have just told you what was bothering me.
So big brothers are for, right?
You're more than my brother, right?
She stops.
You're my friend, aren't you?
Yeah.
He smiles.
Yeah, I am.
She smiles.
Maybe I didn't act like one, though.
She lowers her eyes.
Sorry.
She nods. They keep walking. The Gray House. We watch Hans put film into a camera.
Official wedding photographer reporting for duty.
Look at you. Wow.
Brandon enters in a tux.
Here you go.
Thanks.
She hands him the camera.
Where's Jody?
Oh, I'm gonna go get her. I hope she has a good time tonight. Christmas is never much fun for her.
Never say never.
She turns.
Where are you going?
Oh, down to the shop.
She puts on a jacket.
Don't you have a wedding to get to?
Yeah, I forgot my sage.
Jody and I could get it for you.
Would you?
Yeah, it's on the way.
Oh, thanks. All right, just a small bunch of dried sage. I want to burn a little before the ceremony. Clear the air. Make way for new beginnings.
They smile. She turns to her bag.
There you go.
Gives him the keys. He walks out. She watches him go. She raises a finger, then walks to the coffee table. She crosses off sage on a list. Underneath it, cake is not crossed. Betty comes in.
Cassie, about your cake. I am so sorry. It was in the back of my van, and unfortunately, so was my neighbor's dachshund.
Oh, no.
Yeah, this tiny dog ate the entire thing. Now, I am trying to get you another one, but I'm totally sold out, and every other bakery from here to the state capitol closed at noon.
Betty, put it out of your mind. You get back to all the other items on your menu.
No, but it's your wedding cake. What'll we do?
She tenses her forehead.
Well, the first thing to realize is that baking is about mixing together the right ingredients.
Betty purses her lips.
I have no idea what you're saying.
Then look at it this way. You just brought great joy to a dachshund this Christmas.
She smiles. Betty looks down, then walks away. Cassie bites her lip, then picks up the phone and dials. George answers the phone.
Hello.
Hello, George. Do you have cake mix?
Cake? I'll have to check. Why?
Well, I need a wedding cake for 35 guests in, 2 hours.
He blinks.
George?
I'm here. A little shocked, but I'm still standing.
Jake comes down the stairs in his tux.
Maybe Lori could help you move things along.
She smiles.
I'm counting on you two.
This ring on your finger.
Okay. Great.
She hangs up and bites her lip. Jake is futzing with his tie.
Do you know how to tie one of these?
George stares into space.
George, are you there? Was that Cassie?
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
What does she want?
He looks to Jake.
A miracle.
He hangs up the phone. Jake picks up his cell.
Derek?
Chief, I found Leon's car, but I can't find him.
Okay. Well, you stay on Main Street. Stay with the car. And as long as you have the car, he's not going anywhere. You got it?
Copy that, Jake.
He hangs up. Lori plops sugar on the counter.
No cake mix?
Even if we had all the ingredients, there's not enough time.
Hey, I know it looks impossible, but don't forget you've got George Never Say Die O'Hanrahan in your corner.
They both smile.
So what are you going to do?
Beats me.
Jake answers his phone.
Derek?
He steps aside.
Oh, yeah, hi. How are you?
He blinks.
Really? You don't have any other way to... No? No, it's not your fault, no. Merry Christmas.
He hangs up.
I hate to ask.
That was the minister. His car broke down. He has no other way to get here.
Maybe Derek could shoot up there in the squad car.
No, Derek's on duty. Even if he could drive 100 miles an hour, it's a round trip. He'd still never make it on time.
Well, ask people to wait. Maybe we can serve them these cookies.
Oh, honey, we can't do that to people. Not on Christmas Eve.
Her face falls.
What good is a marriage license if we don't have a minister to tie the knot?
George opens the envelope.
Bro, Robert Kowalski and Teresa Quinn?
Who?
Who? The name's on your wedding license.
Jake grabs the envelope that reads Jake Russell.
Well, they must have given me the wrong one. I've been so busy, I didn't even bother to open it.
Jake?
Well, that's it. The wedding's off.
No, it can't be.
I'll have to speak to Cassie. Do you know this will be the first promise I've ever broken to her?
He steals his jaw. We watch Deeks as he walks down the main street. He looks at the storefronts. He stops walking and looks around him. He keeps walking around a corner. He's carrying a bag. He walks up to a door with a red bow on it. He looks behind him, then crouches down, reaches in his pocket and takes out a pick and sticks it in the lock. He fiddles with the pick in the lock and glances behind him. He takes out the pick, puts it back in his pocket and stands. He looks behind him, then opens the door. Inside, he shines a flashlight as he ducks beneath the curtain. It's Cassie's shop. He walks through, shining a light on the tiles on the floor. He zeroes in on one tile, then crouches down, sets the flashlight down and knocks the corners of one specific tile. He flattens his palm in the middle of it, then unzips his bag. He takes out a hammer and crowbar and positions the bar on the edge of the tile. He looks up to see Jody and Brandon approaching the front door. Brandon keys in. They walk in and turn on the light.
She said a small bunch of dried sage hanging from the ceilings.
They walk through the store.
Don't most people usually hang mistletoe?
Deeks is crouched behind the counter. They find the sage.
Cassie says it makes way for new beginnings.
I wish my family could make a new beginning.
Deeks tilts his head and listens.
What do you mean?
She blinks.
You're so lucky to have your family and a dad like Jake. I used to, when I was little 10 years ago.
Deeks contemplates this.
You remember that far back?
Like it was yesterday. Me and my dad laughing. I'd stand on his shoes and he'd waltz me around the room.
Deeks smiles.
Keep those memories up here, locked away like treasure. Take them out at night before I go to bed. That's how I remember him so well.
Deeks blinks. Brandon watches her and smiles. He reaches up to the sage and takes one of the bunches down.
Do you want to go to the party now?
Sure.
They walk to the door together. He puts his arm around her. She walks out the door. He shuts off the lights and follows her. Deeks stands. He walks over to the tile and crouches over it again. He turns on the flashlight and gets out the hammer and crowbar. He pauses and looks up, stares straight ahead. His lower lip quivers, he smacks his lips. Jake's police car drives up the road past a sign that reads Middle Heritage Society. Cassie appears wearing a white wedding gown. She glides down the steps and stops halfway down. Jake appears at the bottom of the stairs. They take each other in.
Cassie.
Jake, don't you know it's bad luck to see the bride before the wedding?
He looks down.
I know.
She walks down to him. She looks at him.
Honey, we can't get married.
Greetings!
Martha waves.
Martha, Tom, I'm so glad you made it.
There's something I have to tell you. We've run into some roadblocks, and I'm afraid...
Ah, yes. Wedding.
What's this?
I got a call from my friend at the county office about a mix-up, so Martha and I ran over and straightened it out.
Our wedding license!
They want to know if, by any chance, they gave you a different license.
He hands him the other envelope.
Because there is a very anxious couple named Kowalski and Lakeville who want to get married 2 days after Christmas.
Well, we can send it with the minister after our ceremony.
The minister can't make it.
Why?
Car trouble. So, even if we have this license, I don't see...
Well, you don't, but I do. I'll get someone to marry you in the next 5 minutes. My dear, I happen to have connections.
Eyes the mayor.
Me?
Well, yes, you. By the power vested in you, et cetera, et cetera. Why not?
Well, it's been a while.
Well, Mayor, you can take those. I know what I want to say.
He hands him note cards.
Martha, thank you. Thank you for everything. Everything? Whatever do you mean? Well, you got us our license, our officiant, and the venue.
Martha's eyes widen.
Do you remember when you told me that the Heritage Society was winding down for the holidays?
Her jaw drops.
You really are a great wedding planner, Martha.
They both smile.
Well, anyway, it's time for you two to start your new life together.
Cassie smiles to Jake, who gazes at her.
Jake, would you escort our guests?
With pleasure.
He shows them off. Cassie watches them go, then smooths her hands down her dress. We move from a white mantle with white lights and flowers to the seated guests. Martha sits in front.
Cassie did a wonderful job. It's a beautiful room.
Jake stands at the front next to Lori, holding a bouquet, and Brandon at his side. The guests all stand. Cassie appears in the doorway, escorted by George. They slowly walk down the aisle. The guests look at her and smile. The harp player sits next to Lori. They continue down the aisle. We move closer and closer to Jake, who gazes at her. They reach the front.
Who gives this woman to be married to this man?
I do.
George kisses Cassie on the cheek, shakes Jake's hand, then steps aside. Cassie steps up while the guests sit down. She hands her bouquet to Lori, who smiles broadly. Brandon watches and smiles. Cassie and Jake gaze at each other.
Dear friends and family, we're gathered here today to witness the loving union of Jake Russell and Cassandra Nightingale in the sacred bond of marriage.
We see a figure move through the trees. Deeks appears. He looks up at a stone building with a tree covered in Christmas lights next to it.
Jake, please place the ring on Cassie's finger.
Jake looks to Lori, who holds out the open ring box. He takes the ring and smiles at her, then slips the ring on Cassie's finger.
Cassie, with this ring, I give you all that I am and ever will be.
She smiles and looks down.
With this ring, I be wed. Cassie, please put the ring on Jake's finger.
Brandon hands her Jake's ring. She places it on his finger.
As I place this ring on your finger, I give you all that I am and ever will be. With this ring, I be wed.
He smiles. George watches and softens. Brandon and Lori smile.
At this time, Jake and Cassie would like to say their own vows to each other.
The mayor nods to Jake, who looks at Cassie.
Cassie, not long ago you came into my life, and nothing has been the same since.
She smiles.
Words can't easily express all that you've given me. In fact, I can only think of one. Magic.
She gazes at him.
I love you.
The guests watch with a smile. The mayor nods at Cassie.
Jake, you gave me a home when I had none. A home in your heart. And you gave me a family.
She glances to Lori.
When I had none.
Brandon smiles.
And I will love and cherish them as I will love and cherish you. Doesn't take a crystal ball to know that you and I will be each other's strength and hope and joy.
Ruth and Jody smile at each other.
And this is my promise to you. A love that's never gonna end.
They gaze into each other's eyes.
By the authority vested in me as Mayor Middleton, it gives me great pleasure to pronounce you husband and wife.
They smile.
Jake, I kiss your bride.
They kiss. The guests stand and applaud. Lori and Brandon smile broadly. We see George and Martha, Ruth and Jody applauding a standing crowd. Historical Society at night.
Got something to show you.
George leads Cassie into a room with three a tiered cake made out of many cookies.
Is this a wedding cake?
It's a cookie cake. I took all the baked goods in hand, and Lori and I used icing to hold it all together.
Oh, George, what would we do without you?
They admire the cake.
Cassie, what if I stayed here?
In Middleton? That would be great, George.
Not just Middleton. In Gray House. I could run the place.
What an interesting idea.
Well, I got it from you.
Did you really?
Yeah, when you said you couldn't be in two places at once.
She purses her lips and smiles. He wags a finger at her.
You know, it's a big job.
I could use a big job right now.
On one condition. You wouldn't do all the work alone. We'd be equal partners.
He holds out his hand. She takes it and they hug. She pauses.
If you'll excuse me, I need to welcome all my guests.
She walks out. Deeks appears in the trees. He looks towards the windows. There is the sign for the Historical Society. He creeps in closer.
Won't you come in?
He snaps his head around to find Cassie.
How'd you know I was out here?
Well, you weren't in there, so I thought maybe you were out here.
He stares blankly at her.
Well, I came to get my little girl.
She smiles.
Family is a very powerful force this time of year, isn't it?
His face softens.
I don't exactly have a family anymore.
Oh, Leon. Where there's love, there's family. You don't have to keep running. So, come in from the cold. Whenever you're ready.
She walks in. He watches her go. She glances back at him before disappearing inside. He stares off, contemplating. George takes a glass of champagne from Betty.
Thank you, Betty.
You're welcome.
Isn't she a lovely bride?
Hope I'm not late for dinner.
Gwen appears.
Gwen?
He smiles.
Hello, George.
I thought only Cassie popped up like this.
I brought my daughter and grandchildren with me for a visit. They've never seen snow, but now the weather station says no snow this Christmas.
Fell it wrong. Cassie's forecast is for snow tonight.
Well, I hope she's right.
You can bet on it.
Gwen smiles.
Is snow the only reason you came back?
You're the only reason I need it, George.
I guess you haven't heard, but after the honeymoon, I'm moving into Gray House.
Really, George?
It's a big house.
I know.
Lots of room.
Yes, yes, there is.
It can use some of my Irish hospitality.
No doubt.
She kisses him.
There we go.
Brandon snaps a picture of Cassie and Jake.
Excuse me.
Deeks appears in the doorway. Brandon, Lori, and Jody all turn to see him. Jake walks towards him.
I want to give you this.
He hands Jake a bag.
It's all there. Money from the Shelbyville bank job.
Ruth smiles slightly. Jody looks from Ruth to Deeks.
It was hidden under the floor of your shop.
Jake glances at Cassie.
Cassie's shop? Yeah, well, it wasn't a shop when I stashed it there. It's just an abandoned building.
Jake stares at him.
Okay. This isn't exactly the right time or place.
No, it is the time. I want my little girl to see me do it.
They look to Jody, who smiles at him. Jake glances to Cassie.
I had a plan to win Jody back.
Jody's eyes dart around.
I figured I could convince her to run away and live with her dad.
Ruth looks away.
But then I realized that you can't buy love.
Jody smiles.
And I don't want to run anymore.
Cassie smiles.
So how do we know this isn't just another con?
Well, it's not a crime to return the money.
Ruth stares.
And Leon has done his time.
They look at each other. Deeks walks into the room a few steps.
Look, I know I've made some big mistakes, all right? And I know it's going to take time for everybody to trust me again. But I'm going to stay right here and do whatever it takes. Because I want that second chance.
Cassie smiles.
I want a family again.
Ruth watches him. Brandon looks from Jody to her dad.
Jody, I've never had anything but love for you. And I know how much I hurt you. I saw the hurt in your eyes the other night when you dropped the silver dollar off for Santa. You were watching that family on the street, weren't you?
She nods.
A happy family.
Ruth sighs, her eyes glassy.
And that's all you really want for Christmas. Not this money.
He blinks back tears.
You said it yourself, Angel. I was a good guy once. So can you let me be that guy again?
Jody's face contorts, then she jumps up and hugs her father. Ruth smiles with tears in her eyes. Brandon smiles. Cassie and Jake watch them. They release their embrace.
Second chance.
Cassie smiles.
I guess the second chance is worth a try.
Ruth smiles and Deeks, Jody and Ruth start to walk out together.
Jake! I put a lock on his car. He can't go anywhere. He's...
Derek watches the Deeks as they walk by him.
He's right here.
Yep.
Derek looks to them, then glances over and spots Betty standing with a tray of food.
Chief, does this mean that I'm off duty now?
Well, Derek, you put this in the lockup.
He hands him the money bag.
And do whatever you want.
Derek smiles to Betty, who smiles back.
So, what do you say we get an early start on that Christmas date?
She nods.
Save you seat at dinner tonight.
He raises his eyebrows, then takes a bit of what's on her tray and eats it. Jake escorts Cassie down the stairs.
Would this be a good time to say Merry Christmas?
It's going to be a very Merry Christmas, because tomorrow morning, I'm going to wake up with my family.
His mouth gapes open.
Do you know the moment that I fell in love with you?
She shakes her head.
It was when I first saw you come down your stairs.
He holds out his hands as she walks down.
Well, it took me a little longer to fall in love with you. It was when I reached the bottom of my stairs.
She comes to the bottom and they kiss.
Of course, I didn't know what I was in for.
Well, you still don't.
They smile at each other, then she pulls him to the left. They exit the building where there is a horse-drawn carriage waiting for them. Jake's jaw drops.
Cassie.
Two white horses pull the carriage. The driver turns and looks at them.
You are a bundle of Christmas surprises.
Well, there's a lot more where that came from.
Really?
They get in the carriage. As they sit, it starts to snow. They look up. George, Brandon, and Lori look out the window and watch the snow.
It's snowing just like Cassie said it would.
Jake looks around him.
How did...
Magic happens.
She smiles. He kisses her. They look up and they gaze at each other longingly. George and the kids wave to them out the window. The carriage starts down the street as they wave goodbye. We watch the carriage drive them away as the snow falls.